Are you ready, Alabama?
Oh, the band is out on the field!
The band is leaving the field.
And one time, at band camp,
love the drum.
Man, I do love my drum.
If you say that's what she said one more time, I'm gonna pop you.
You're welcome to join the doghouse.
Oh God, I'm so sorry. I keep doing that.
Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867.
Be a dog.
The clock starts on my whistle.
How you doing?
It's time for the second half of the Tom Abraham Show. Here he is, the head of the household. Here's drum major Big Dog. It's Tom Abraham.
We strong.
You all may be taking the week off, this week, but I'm not.
No truth to the rumor that Bo Estes has put a billboard up in Atlanta for LeBron James to fly through Atlanta to wherever he's going to go next, apparently. LeBron, use our airport. There ain't no way in hell he's going to go play for the Hawks, right? These signs things are getting crazy. Bo Estes, NBA TV, NBA.com, NBA Extraordinaire is up now on the Woody Anderson Ford VIP hotline. Bo, welcome in. How are you?
I'm good, man. I did last week we talked about the signs in Philly, the billboards in Philly, and now it's L.A. Braun out in Los Angeles. So the courting process has begun.
It's unseemly for the Lakers to put a sign up, though, or for Laker fans to put a sign up because, I mean, you're Lakers, right? You don't beg people to come there. I mean, come on. It's one thing for it to be put up, you know, in some of these other places, you know, but it's just the Lakers. It'd be like the Celtics putting up a sign. The Celtics fans should put up a sign that says, LeBron, stay away.
I don't think Kyrie wants him to come there. Here's the deal. Everybody wants a quick fix now. LeBron's the quick fix for everybody's problems. But, you know, the Lakers are on the right path, I think. So I don't think they desperately need LeBron unless they want to win a championship next year. And, you know, maybe that's just the way fans are. It's an instant gratification world, Tom. I'm sure you know that.
Well, ask Tubby Smith about that. We went on a classic rant, the soon-to-be ex-Memphis Tiger coach saying that, you know, 830 transfers in college basketball last year, we're just teaching kids how to quit, you know, and that's it. You know, you go someplace else.
Yeah, like to get away from your problems is to solve your problems. And that's not always – I mean, sometimes that's the case, but it's not always the case. And it feels like the scale has tilted in that direction, sadly. And I hope that, you know – at least it's as far as the tough thing for me is that they're general managers whose jobs are based upon this guy's decision. Right. And, you know, if you're the Philadelphia 76ers or if you're the LA Lakers and all of a sudden LeBron comes there, you look like a genius, whether you did anything or not. Maybe it was your city. Maybe it was the opportunity with Nike that said that if you go to this city, the dollars are better for you. So, you know, there's a lot of downstream consequences for these decisions. And I just wish that we were just a bit more patient with some of these younger teams.
If I were putting a number on it, I would say it's 80% he stays in Cleveland. How about that? I mean, if you had to put a number on it, what do you think it is? I think ultimately he's going to stay there, play it out, you know, end with his legacy there, try and bring some more young talent to him and win at the end of his career there. Because it's such a better optic than him running around doing stuff, you know, trying to go chase championships.
You know what's going to be interesting is he will not have made this decision when the lottery process plays out and that Brooklyn pick is determined. And I think that matters. If Cleveland gets one or two or three in the lottery, all of a sudden I think the appeal of Cleveland is greater than it once was. Because you're on a first-round contract. You're on a rookie contract. So it's not killing you salary cap-wise. And if you get a DeAndre Ayton or a Marvin Bagley or a Luka Doncic, all of a sudden that program in Cleveland is turned around in a hurry. So I think there are a lot of things that could weigh on his decision. But I think that's an underrated thing that's not being talked about enough, is where the lottery balls bounce for Cleveland in that Brooklyn pick matters. I think it matters a lot.
Yeah. You know, Bo Essis with us, NBA TV, NBA.com. That's all part of the TNT family. You guys got a killer double dip tomorrow night. You get Boston and Minnesota in the early game, followed by San Antonio and Golden State in the late game. Pull a curtain back a little bit for us. Are these games, when the schedule is put out, do they, okay, you know, ESPN's got Wednesday night games, TNT's got the Thursday night games, and we're going to put these games on those nights so that they have a good lineup to pick from. How does all of that work? Or is the schedule is the schedule, and then you guys try to grab the best game that looks good on the schedule that night? Because it's uncanny, the great matchups that you guys get in your midweek games and the great matchups that ABC gets on Sundays.
I'll give you a little historical detail on that. It used to be that Thursday nights were exclusive to TNT, meaning that the games on TNT were the only games that were taking place in the NBA that night. There was nothing else. There were two problems with that. One was players wanted to start spreading out the schedule a little more and getting a bit more rest. So you had to play a few games on Thursday night to give people a Wednesday and a Friday off and stuff like that. The other side of that is if we picked wrong early in the season, there wasn't a lot of schedule shifting that we could do.
Right.
Now, the way that it works with our programming department and the people that make these decisions, they're allowed X number of shifts, I believe. That's the way I understand it. And so if early in the season Boston and Minnesota tank, well, they can look on the schedule and find another game that may be more appealing and switch that over to the TNT game. They try to have nice games on Thursday night for us. They really do. They try to have marquee matchups for us on Thursday night. And, you know, that is, you know, we pay a lot of money for those rights. And, you know, that's, we want to deliver something that people want to see. And I think, you know, as you point out, it regularly winds up very good, very compelling basketball.
So these two games, Boston, Minnesota, and San Antonio, Golden State, these were on your guys' schedule back in, you know, October or something like that? Or is it just a few weeks ago that they decided, all right, these are the ones that we're going to jump on? Because you could have gotten away with the 76ers and the Heat, for example, you know, or both playing, you know, good basketball. But so, were these games already selected months ago?
Likely, I don't know in this particular case if they were selected months ago, but if you look at the schedule for tomorrow night, there's the 10:30 Spurs Warriors. That was going to be the late game regardless.
Right.
But if Celtics, Timberwolves, if those teams had awful seasons and say the Thunder were a more compelling matchup or 76ers Heat, they could have adjusted the time of that. They could make some switches as the year goes along. It's limited. There also are some rules about how many times a particular team can appear on our air. There's like a cap on that.
Oh, really?
So, you know, obviously we would just do Golden State all the time, every week. I mean, I think everybody would. You know, it's not a good long-term plan, but in the short-term ratings question, anytime you can stick Golden State on TV, anytime you can stick LeBron on TV, it's a good thing. I think they cap that at a certain number of games that you can put them on, and it's a lot of games.
Yeah, I would say it must be – I'm going to guess that with the Cavs, it's 70, okay, because it seems like they're on national TV all the time, including tonight.
We can show them a whole lot, but not every time.
Not every single game. And then the NBA TV games, those are kind of different, right? I mean, because sometimes it seems like – almost feels like you're picking up a local feed, a regional feed, and then other times it's a production, and then isn't that where the player – or no, players' nights are on TNT, right?
Well, Players Only has shifted now to TNT. It starts off the year on NBA TV. And to give you a little background, that has to do with our talent sort of wandering into the March Madness stuff. So we have people that are working March Madness as well. So Players Only is a different way to broadcast the game, and it's also a way to use our talent and to have games on TV from different broadcasters. I'll put it that way. So I think that, you know, the NBA TV games, obviously, it's not as regularly a full-scale production like at every TNT game. You never are going to hear the local announcers. It is our guys going out to the game and doing it. TNT, sometimes we just pick up the feed, and then we have guys filling in the breaks. Now, if you remember a month ago on NBA TV on Players Only, there were times where we would call it from the studio. Greg Anthony and Steve Smith would be sitting in the studio, and they would call the game from there. But more often than not, it's the local team's announcers that we use.
Yeah, that was the Science Mystery Theater games. That's what I called that. When they, you know, just have the guys with their heads, with their heads just standing, you know, sitting there in front of the game, watching the game and talking to us during the game, type of thing. Bo Esses with us, NBA TV, NBA.com. And tonight, Cleveland and Denver get the ESPN treatment. And what jumps off the page at me when I look at that is the fact that Denver's only got two less wins than Cleveland. I mean, you know, you don't think of that because we don't talk about the Nuggets, right? But there's Denver at 35-29, just a couple of games behind where Cleveland would be at 37-26.
And Denver is just by a half game in the playoffs, in the eighth position. Meanwhile, Cleveland's in the third position, and you could argue that Denver's record of 35-29 is more impressive than Cleveland's 37-26 because they're playing a Western Conference weighted schedule. So I think that, you know, a lot of Cleveland's record has been due to the turmoil and the roster change that they've had this season, but they need to start getting it together now. Cleveland needs to pick up their 6-4 in their last 10. That's okay, but they're still giving up 109 points per game. The defense hasn't picked up. It must pick up in the playoffs. I really did think, you know, when you first saw them out of the gate, this new revamped roster, I thought, okay, they're, again, Eastern Conference favorites. And I probably would still lean that way. But, you know, they're not close to Toronto. They're not close to Boston in the standings. So it's going to take some doing in the playoffs to get past those teams.
And Toronto's just not letting Boston gain on them at all. I mean, they're on a rampage. They're 9-1 in their last 10 and won 5 straight, and they're just flying.
Well, and that's the thing. There are these under-radar stories in the Eastern Conference because there are, if you look out west, it's bananas what teams are doing. The number one team, Rockets, they've won 16 straight. Golden State's won 6 straight. 3, Portland, they've won 8 straight. 4, New Orleans, they've won 9 straight. So it's hard to get attention in that sort of world.
Right.
In the Eastern Conference, and you're doing good things. But Toronto is a tennis player just holding serve. They're winding the season down, and they're going to try and get that number one seed because that'll matter up there because that's a tough place to play up in Toronto. And if you think about it, if you're Toronto, the value of the one seed, if you believe that Boston and Cleveland are locked into 2-3, is that you will see Boston and Cleveland have to play each other and beat each other up and then come face you if you do what you're supposed to do in the playoffs. So it's really advantageous to get that one seed. And, you know, I'm sure Boston is aware of that. They would love to dump Toronto down to number 2 so they could avoid Cleveland until, you know, later in the playoffs. I think it's really advantageous.
Top 4 seeds in the West are 37-3 combined in their last the last 10 games. That's just absolutely crazy. And it's coming at the expense of people like the Spurs and the T-Wolves and so on. And there's still some battling going on at the bottom there because it feels like in the East, we're set. I mean, we got our field set. It almost feels like in the East now with Miami 4.5 games clear of Detroit as they fade 2-8 in their last 10. But in the West, you still get the feeling that the Clippers and the Jazz are in that deal as well, and that the line is just above the Lakers. You know, we got 10 going for 8 right now in the West.
Well, I yesterday I was hosting on NBA TV, and I was working with our NBA TV researcher. And, you know, this is updated today versus what we were talking about yesterday. But Portland, as we sit here now, is 12 games back of Houston in the West. In 10th place, Utah is 16.5. So from 3rd place to 10th place is just 4.5 games. And all those teams, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, are bunched into that discussion. So nothing settled out there. Not only who's going, but where you're going, who has home field, who doesn't, or home court, who doesn't have home court. I mean, it's something that I've honestly never seen at this point in the season. To have, you know, basically 4 games separate 3-10 in a playoff chase.
Yeah, and it's going to definitely alter the way, you know, that bracket looks, if you will, to use the term of the day now, when that all comes down, because that's what you're having is a lot of shuffling around going on there. And the Pelicans may be the hottest of all of them outside of Houston. I mean, they've won 9 straight, and Anthony Davis is out of his mind. Can he – every time I talk about the Pelicans, I scream – get him out of there. Get Anthony Davis someplace where we can see him. Can he be a Can he be all that he can be? I know it sounds ugly to say that for fans of teams to say, well, why don't we just have 12 teams then? But this is as old as forever. Lou Alcindor going from the Milwaukee Bucks to the Lakers, and of course, Shaq going from Orlando to the Lakers and then to every other team in the NBA, and other guys moving. I mean, even though Chicago had no decent history with the Bulls when Mike got there, it was still Chicago. It wasn't New Orleans, which is a pretty small market these days. Can he stay there, or do we got to get him out of there at some point in time?
So can he be all he can be is two different questions. I look at it two different ways. In other words, statistically, he's a monster now. He is an MVP candidate, a solid MVP candidate. James Harden's going to win it this year, but right behind him is Anthony Davis. So he is he's self-actualized as a player. He's as good as anybody could expect a player to be. Now, winning championships and chasing championships is a different question. Will they do that in New Orleans? And that's a bit more of a challenge. That's a bit more of an ask. They went out and they got DeMarcus Cousins and they put their cards on the table and Cousins got hurt. So, you know, I have to respect New Orleans for what they did, and it's just a bit of bad luck in a season where there's a lot of injuries. And look, Anthony Davis got taken out of the game in the second quarter last night and had x-rays on his ribs. So, I think there's concern for, you know, every player in the league because there's so many injuries. But, winning championships is what defines guys now. And so if he's going to chase championships, if he's going to leave that team, he's in his prime. It has to happen soon. But I think that Anthony Davis is a player that you can build around and win championships. So I don't necessarily think he has to go anywhere to do this. But I don't imagine that he wouldn't at least look at that option.
You think Chuck's going to pay a little more attention to college game going into the tournament now that his beloved Auburn Tigers are going to be a two or a three seed? And he'd be pretty fired up this year.
I think he's very proud of them, and he always is very proud of the Auburn Tigers. And Bruce Pearl is a guy. Look, I've interviewed Bruce Pearl, and he's a guy that you'd run through a wall for. He's a motivating guy. So I think that Charles will be into it. I really do. I think he'll be excited about what's going to happen down there. It's tough to imagine Charles being the same sort of researched analyst as some of the other guys that you may see. But I think that he can provide a basketball perspective when he watches a game that few others can provide. And he's Charles. He's entertaining. That's what he does. But he'll be watching those Auburn Tigers. I can guarantee you that.
It'll be interesting to see, you know, what he has to say about the FBI stuff and whether or not the topic of players' entry into the NBA, which has been a hot topic, of course, not only with the commissioner, Adam Silver, but now we heard what Steve Kerr said. And by the way, what Steve Kerr said makes perfect sense. I've been yelling about that for years, ever since we got to one and done, is why not let the guy be drafted? And again, the college baseball rule, let the guy be drafted and then let him decide whether or not he wants to, you know, go into the NBA or stay in college. The interesting thing that kind of the rub with this whole thing is has he hired an agent, which made me think, why do you have to hire an agent before you're drafted? I mean, really, I mean, you have somebody that's, that prepares you for, you know, whatever combine type stuff and whatever, that's all fine and dandy. But why does any college player hire an agent when he decides to come out and then not get drafted? And now I got an agent for what? An agent for what? So that always is kind of weird. Just stay away from the agent, put him in the draft. Don't get drafted. Go back to college.
The weird thing for me is that the people that don't need an agent are DeAndre Ayton and Marvin Bagley.
You don't need no agent.
Like, yeah. They don't need an agent at all. What they need, who needs an agent, is the guy that is projected as the 33rd pick or the 34th pick. And maybe an agent can get him the right interviews and get him in front of the right people to get him to 29 or 28 and get that guaranteed money to set him up for life. I get that. But again, Steve Kerr is constantly making sense, but I think that makes a whole lot of sense, what he said there. The argument I will tell you that is against that is from college coaches and college teams that want to know sort of who's going to be here next year when I'm recruiting. Now, you're placing that concern next to the concern of a student athlete who's trying to determine his future. I sort of side with the student athlete. But I think that's where the argument is.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that, you know, the concept of drafting them out of high school, the big question would be is what's the impact on college basketball? I mean, because as much as guys like me can advocate for a system that is like baseball and hockey, right, where you can get drafted out of high school, or in the case of baseball, if you go to college, then you stay in college for 3 years in baseball. Maybe it's 2 years in basketball. But some sort of a deal like that where if you go and take your commitment and go to college, you stay in college. If you want to go to the minor leagues and toil like they do in baseball or in hockey, then go to the minor leagues. It would be great for the G League. It would be great for professional basketball. I think that would be really good. But those are the two sports that have the least interest in their college level. College hockey and college baseball are nowhere near as big as college basketball and college football. And the reason is that's our minor league system, you know, college football and college basketball. So I struggle with that back and forth, but it doesn't mean we should use the kids for it. The kid should be allowed to be drafted out of high school. Take your chances, go play in the minors if that's what you want to do.
I think your last thought is exactly right. That needs to be the primary concern. Are we treating these kids fairly? Are we giving them every opportunity that you'd want any other American college kid to have? You know, if you know, Apple comes calling and offers a kid $2 million, he's gone. That's just the way it works. But the thing I continually think on these deals is, you know, college is wonderful for the NBA. College is wonderful marketing. Marvin Bagley this season at Duke has been a star. And when you watch him, you're excited to see him play next year in the NBA. DeAndre Ayton, the same thing. Trae Young, how much marketing has he gotten, especially in the earlier part of his season from playing at Oklahoma? He wouldn't have gotten that in the NBA because he wouldn't have been playing heavy minutes. Now, I think, you know, in the end, I think that the aspect of the two-way players is going to make these kids going from high school to the pros. If that happened, I think you'd see waves of kids go because the two-way player contracts make you enough money to be safe. You don't make a ton of money, but, you know, most of the kids would average around $200,000.
Yeah.
And for most normal people, that is a ton of money. But I think that rule they may have to look at if they're going to start having high school kids go to the pros, because I think so many kids would opt for going to the G League or going on a two-way contract rather than going to college, even if they were a marginal selection.
And so be it. I mean, it's the American way. I have a hard time. And I think the guys that will go, I think college basketball ultimately could be better because we get to know the guys that go. But I think that would have to be the trade-off, is that if you go to college, I would like the baseball rule. I'd like it to be 3 years, and then you go back in the draft. You know, there was a time in baseball that if you were playing college baseball, people would say, what's wrong with you? You know, what's wrong with him? He wasn't good enough? I mean, why? But that's changed. I mean, now we see David Price and all the guys, the top picks now, for the most part, come out of college baseball. I think we would survive. I think college basketball would survive. I think that the risk of not having the biggest names, and Alabama would have been affected, and Auburn would be affected, and, you know, these places like that. I mean, these guys wouldn't be around. Colin Sexton would not be playing at Alabama for this 1 year, and so on. But having said that, it that feels seedier, having a kid at the campus that doesn't even know his way across campus yet and gone, than just letting these guys go and start their pro careers. And if they're good enough, if they're Kobe or if they're Moses Malone to go old school or Kevin Garnett or LeBron, then fine. They go and they play. If they're not, they play in the minors and they take their chance. And if they wash out without an education, that's the risk they took.
Well, I will tell you, I'm a North Carolina basketball fan, and I can't tell you what an immense pleasure it's been getting to know these players who have been staying there for 3 and 4 years the last couple of years and taking the team to the NCAA championship game, then winning the NCAA championship. These aren't the highest ranked kids that were going to North Carolina when the recruiting scandal was going on, but they stuck around, and it's been so much fun. It's been such a wonderful ride. And if that became the way college basketball was for everybody, I think people would enjoy it, honestly. Mm-hmm. And some of those kids would develop during their time in college and would become great pros. But I don't think we have to force them into that decision. That's just my personal opinion. I think, you know, it's like you said, it's the American way. If you're good enough, you're 18 years old and you want to go out and have that job, go get it. Go get it, man.
Yeah.
But if you're going to go to college, that's a commitment. And I would love to see people stick around if they did go to college.
Bo Estes, he's been committed to the show for years now, and I appreciate that. And he's already gone pro, but he continues to come on the show with us, so that's good stuff. Bo, I appreciate you, man.
Always a pleasure, Tom. Take care, bud.
All right, thank you. Bo Estes. All right, let's grab a break. When we come back, NASCAR has announced their 20 nominees for the new Hall of Fame class, and they're going to boil it down to five. I'm going to try and pick five, but we're going to use a Hall of Fame writer in Larry Woody to help us narrow this down. And there's some new names on here, and there's some names that are very, very familiar to you. We'll get into that next, right here, the Tom Abraham Show, 730-1039.
Boom. WUMP Sports Radio, The Op.
Hey, gang, Tom Abraham here for Woody Anderson Ford. Have you noticed the weather lately? Spring is definitely in the air, and you know what that has me thinking about? Getting my vehicle serviced at Woody Anderson Ford. Now, Woody Anderson Ford at Jordan and Sparkman Lanes has incredible new service lanes. So clean, it's like pulling into a NASCAR garage. Plus, the service team is first rate. They're knowledgeable and courteous. So if you go in there and say, it's kind of making a whirring sound when I turn the wheel, or it clunks at the stoplight, well, they got you covered. So get your spring service now at Woody Anderson Ford.
Hi, I'm Marion Platt, and welcome to Heartbeat. The other day, a friend made the observation that it's amazing that people don't bump into each other while walking because everyone seems to be preoccupied with their cell phone or iPad. I've noticed that on busy city streets, it's rare that anyone looks up anymore. Everyone seems to be preoccupied. Are you one of these people? What preoccupies your mind? Maybe you need to take a break from what you're holding in your hand and look up. There's so much to be seen, so much life to experience. Jesus said that he came to give us life so that we could live it to its fullest. Don't allow yourself to get too busy to enjoy life. Heartbeat is brought to you by the Salvation Army.
Welcome to the Orphan Diaries. Here is the president of Food for Orphans, Gary Van Dyke.
There are 143 million orphans in the world today, and another child becomes an orphan every 2 seconds. Food for Orphans is helping to end that suffering. Every dollar donated provides 2.5 meals, and every $100 will provide a meal to 250 innocent orphans. That's a real demonstration that someone loves them.
For more information, visit www.foodfororphans.org.
So this year, I ordered my prom dress from Shady Deals, and when it came, it said, some assembly required.
I ordered these batteries for my digital camera, but the batteries weren't included, so I had to draw all of our family memories.
I ordered a 60-inch TV from Shady Deals. What they actually meant is, you can't sit further than 60 inches away.
Be a savvy consumer. Research businesses, report false advertising, and settle transaction claims with the BBB.
Test your advertising IQ. Go to bbbadtruth.org.
Attention all veterans, transitioning service members, and military spouses. Warriors to the Workforce presents in association with Still Serving Veterans, the AUSA Global Force Symposium and Exposition, March 27th at the VBC in Huntsville. Are you looking for a job? Would you like to meet some veteran-friendly companies ready to hire? Would you like to hear and participate in some great discussions about transition? Then come participate in the AFF's nationwide initiative to help veterans find jobs. At the AUSA Global Force Symposium and Exposition, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., March 27th at the VBC. Attendance is free for veterans, military service members, and military spouses. Don't wait. Get your future started now. Register today at warriorstotheworkforcehsv.net. That's warriorstotheworkforcehsv.net.
Weather is sponsored by CC's. Now at CC's, New York-style pizzas and new cheesecake brownies. On the buffet for just five and some chains for a limited time. Only at CC's. Prices may vary. Restrictions apply.
freezing. Temperatures are likely late tonight. The sky cleared, the low at 31. For tomorrow and Friday, the sky's sunny both days. The high tomorrow, 48. Warmer Friday, the high 58. Saturday, increasingly cloudy with a chance of showers by afternoon. Rain more likely Saturday night, the high 65. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
Hey, it's our dime. Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867. Here's Tom Abraham.
Look, if you're going to talk Hall of Fame in NASCAR, might as well talk to a motorsports Hall of Fame writer, right? I mean, I think that's what you got to do, and that's what I do with my friend Larry Woody, who joins us from his home in Nashville, Tennessee. Larry, welcome back to the show. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. Good to talk to you. Hope you've caught a lot of fish this winter.
I have. The only fish I caught this winter so far was at the Kissimmee Chain at the Bassmaster Bass Pro Shops Eastern Open. And I did have some fun down there, but other than that, I have not been able to get out, man. And we've had decent weather up until this little cold snap right here, and I just haven't been able to get out. But I do anticipate getting out quite a bit after the Bassmaster Classic. You know how it is. Once you start covering something, and my listeners know I also host Bassmaster Radio. Once you start covering something, you don't seem to be able to do that thing anymore. You know what I mean?
I've noticed that during my outdoor career, and also a little segue for our listeners down south. I have a good friend I was in the Army with who lives in northern Wisconsin. He's always emailing me about the big walleye that he catches through the ice every winter. I tell him down here, Tom, we're smart enough to know when the water gets hard, that's the good Lord's sign to quit fishing. we don't fish through the ice down here.
No, and I grew up on a lake in the north, and growing up, I used to watch those guys out there drive out on the lake and drill their holes and have their huts, and I'll say, and I, who grew up in that stuff, said, you know what, if I can't dangle my feet in the water and see my lure splash, I don't want to know, man. I'm not dropping a tippet. I'm not dropping a maggot through a hole in the ice.
That's right. If you can't put your toes in it, don't fish in it.
Exactly. The ice, we know what the ice is for. That's for the glass afterwards, for
that's
the highball.
Right. That's right.
All right, let's talk about the Hall of Fame. Let's start with a couple of premises here. They've given us 20 nominees, and it says that there's going to be five. I'm not sure why they decide they're going to take five every year, why there has to be five, because, again, this needs to be the Hall of Fame. I understand it early on when you're building it. And they did that in baseball and all that stuff. But now in baseball, sometimes only one or two guys get in. It's got to be the Hall of Fame, right? Not the Hall of Good. I see a lot of good guys on here, but there are only, to me, I don't know if there even is five Hall of Famers on here.
Well, I don't know, Tom. And again, it depends on everybody's definition of good or Hall of Famers. And that's, you know, it's like looking at art in a museum. You know, everybody's perception of what's art is different. I guess I don't have any qualms about it. I would rather some people, maybe some marginal people, get in than to leave some out. And, you know, and there are two or three, it seems to me like, Tom, are no-brainers that are not only not in but never get nominated, like Smokey Unick. You know, if, for whatever reason, he ruffled too many feathers, I guess. But it's not supposed to be a popularity contest. It's supposed to be a Hall of Fame contest. Same reason I have problems with the Baseball Hall of Fame. It's not a Boy Scout Hall of Fame. It's a Baseball Hall of Fame. So why, and crying out loud, you know, with Pete Rose being one of the greatest baseball players in all times, you know, it's not a choir boy Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So, again,
well,
that's kind of off the point. But there are so many different ways to look at it. And again, I'm not on the selection committee. I've never been asked to be on the selection committee. I'm a little bum-fuzzled sometimes about how they go about voting for the people who are in, some of the people who got in, and how they continue to ignore some of the people who are not in.
Yeah, and I agree with you about Smokey. I do think there should be a separate category. I think there should be a contributor category. I don't think we should have to decide between a driver like Jeff Gordon. That's one of the no-brainers. We'll get to the no-brainers here in a second. But I don't know that we have to – why are we deciding between Jeff Gordon and, you know, Roger Penske, for example, or Jack Roush. I mean, I think that those are different guys when we're looking at this. I think there should be drivers, and just like in baseball, they have the Ford Frick wing or whatever. You know, for writers, that's a different deal. But you're right. I mean, I've always said I think Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame, and I think on his plaque it should say that he was banned for baseball for gambling and that he should not be allowed in baseball. But he was a Hall of Fame player. If we're going to go by that, we got to take Ty Cobb. Huh? Ty Cobb admitted that he killed a man with his bare hands. Can't have him in there.
Among other sins, but you're exactly right. I'll put a plaque up there and give all his great statistics along with all awards. Just let the people see who Pete Rose was and who Ty Cobb was. And I agree completely, Tom, about your assessment. We've talked about this for years about the Hall of Fame. Have some different categories, like a media category.
With
some of the media people in it. Obviously, I have no business being in any kind of hall with Richard Petty and David Pearson and those guys. But, you know, for a media category, maybe I could squeeze in somehow. But you're exactly right. And also a mechanical end. I wouldn't have a problem breaking it down into drivers, the mechanical end, the media end, team owners end, marketing end, that kind of stuff. Just have some different categories and maybe take two or three a year, or maybe three or four drivers, and then maybe a couple of nominees or selections from each of those other two or three categories. That would be the way to do it. But you're right, it's kind of confusing the way it's being done now, just lumping everybody together.
Larry Woody is being very modest. He is a Motorsports Hall of Fame writer covering all motorsports, so he certainly is in that. I mean, Waddell Wilson. All right, he won three NASCAR championships as an engine builder. But Waddell Wilson, I shouldn't be weighing him against Bobby Labonte. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, you know, that's a different guy. All right. Now, no brainers. Look, Jeff. First of all, by the way, for those that are wondering why is Jeff Gordon on here, 2 years. That's the waiting time. 2 years, which is the shortest of any Hall of Fame in any sport, is 2 years. I think hockey's 4, and baseball and the NFL are 5, and I don't know what the NBA is, but 2 years and you're in. So Jeff, which is really. It's just, look, I could see Jeff Gordon still getting in a car at some point. Somebody called him and said, hey, can you race this race or that race? It could happen. So we could have a Hall of Famer on the track the way these guys retire so young now. But Jeff Gordon, that's a four-time champ, 93 championships. That's a no-brainer. Would you say Joe Gibbs is a no-brainer? 9 car owner championships between the top two series, Cup and Xfinity Series. Can we say Joe Gibbs is a no-brainer?
Well, it would be tough. It'd be tough to leave him out among the nominees, the names I've seen. But then you've got people like, you got Jack Roush, you got Roger Penske. You know, do you pick Gibbs over them? They've got some pretty good credentials too. Man, when you get into this, Tom, like I say, you could make a good case you could make a pretty good case for just about all these people that are the 20 nominees.
Well, that's
you couldn't quibble with Gibbs. But then, you know, would you put him ahead of Penske and Roush?
Remember this last year
at team owners.
Last year they took two, right? They took both Hendrick they took Rick Hendrick and Richard Childress last year. So I think precedent is there that you could take Gibbs, Roush, or Penske, if not all three, because to be honest, outside of Gordon, we'll get to the drivers in a minute. But if you were you rank the three. I mean, you know, this is the beauty of something like this. There's only going to be so many to get in. So you pick somebody, put somebody in, you got to take somebody out. So in your mind, Jack Roush, 5-time champion in the three different series. Joe Gibbs, 9 championships. Roger Penske, 4. But damn, it's Roger Penske. You know what I mean? So if you were to rank the three, Gibbs, Penske, and Roush, what would the order that you'd put them in?
I would probably go with Roush, Penske, and Gibbs, I believe.
In that order.
Longevity. And then, Tom, we're also overlooking Ray Fox, I believe, is his name, one of the old-time car owners who was just really instrumental back in the old days of building a team from shoestrings, just a shoestring operation. And if it weren't for old-timers like Ray Fox, we probably wouldn't be talking about Gibbs and Penske and Roush now. So do you overlook a pioneer like that who kind of laid the foundation for the other people? As I say, you can make an awfully strong case for any of these people.
Yeah. All right. To the driver's side, All right, we're putting Gordon in. I've got a number in mind, because I'm looking, like right now, for example, because I go based on how many Hall of Famers are racing right now, you know, and you can't put everybody in the Hall of Fame. And if it's the Hall of Fame should be elite, and what's elite? There's 40 drivers. Well, there's supposed to be 40 every week. Now we get 36. But let's say, you know, 10%. The top 10% is elite. So if you were to take the top four guys in terms of wins right now, we're saying that guys like Jimmy Johnson, Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, and Denny Hamlin are future Hall of Famers. Kurt Busch as well, maybe, right on their tail with 29 wins. We've got a bunch of guys that are nominated here right now. You know, Harry Gant, good. 18 wins, a couple of seven, but that's not Hall of Fame to me. That's Hall of Good. I want Ricky Rudd, 23 wins. No championships, but 23 wins. Good. But Bobby Labonte, 21 wins and a championship. I'm having a hard time finding drivers here that are Hall of Fame drivers outside of Jeff Gordon. If you set the number at, say, you know, there's six guys racing right now that got more than 25 wins. So I don't know how many Hall of Famers there are on this list.
And then you toss in Alan Kowicki, you know, former champion who, you know, ran on a kind of a shoestring operation, an independent owner driver kind of deal. It was just a really inspirational story. And, you know, you toss those people in, and you and I've had discussion, Tom, about Buddy Baker, and I realize I'm biased because I thought so highly of Buddy.
Yeah.
You know, Buddy Baker at his time was just almost unbeatable on the super speedways. I mean, he was just Dr. Zoom on those big tracks. You know, how do you leave off Buddy Baker? Again, there's a big, when you get past the no-brainers and get down to the really good batch, man, there's a lot of vegetables in that stew that you could and you couldn't go wrong.
Yeah.
And again, Tom, you look back at some of the past ones, though, that kind of befuddle you, and you wonder, you know, like Ron Hornaday. You know, Ron Hornaday's a good guy and is a pretty good truck racer, but how do you pick a Ron Hornaday over some of the guys we've just been talking about? And,
right. And
Ray Evernham, how in the world would you pick Ray Evernham over, say, a Harry Hyde or Smokey Unick, who can't even get nominated for whatever reason?
Yeah.
The whole process is just befuddling, and maybe Tom, NASCAR and its wisdom wants it this way because people like you and me are on your radio show discussing it and arguing about it and chatting about it, and the fans are talking about it. So maybe there's some Methodists, Methodists and the Madness, but sometimes it's just really befuddling on how the selection committee goes about making those selections.
Now, I know you love Buddy Baker. I know you do. He won an Indy 500 and 19 wins. But do you know who Buddy Baker is right now? The same exact record, 19 wins in a Daytona 500, Ryan Newman. Record as Ryan Newman. And Ryan Newman's not a Hall of Famer. He's a good, really good driver, but he's not a Hall of Famer.
I know it. And again, I'd quickly, freely admit to my personal biases, same way with Kowicki, because I was covering a racing course for the paper, the Tennessean at the time, and I followed Alan throughout that championship season and saw all the adversity he overcame. Pardon me, you know, rallying late season to get back in the hunt and kind of running on a shoestring operation, paying his own bills and racing almost paycheck to paycheck and pull the championship out. So when you get up and close and personal and you follow those, Tom, maybe you appreciate or develop a little more appreciation for what those guys went through. But you're right. If you just go statistically, just sheer numbers in the record book.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of no-brainers in there, and then you get into that gray area where, well, if it just comes down to numbers, you know, there wouldn't be any point in having maybe a selection committee or selection process. You just check them off through the record book, start at the top, and just go down and check them off. Pardon me, driver-wise.
Yeah.
Now, when you get into the mechanical end and that kind of stuff, it gets a little more complicated. And also, then you get people like Ralph Sigrave. Where does he fit in? You know, Sigrave, he's some marketing guy. But if you went back to the old days, the early 70s, Ralph Sigrave might have had more as great an impact on the sport of NASCAR as the France family did. He was the one that kind of negotiated the RJR Winston deal through and took NASCAR to a whole new level. And, you know, when you get into that category, start weighing that kind of criteria, you know, we might not be discussing a lot of these young multimillionaires today if it weren't for old guys like Ralph Seagraves and the marketing genius that they were that they brought to this sport. So, again, it's fun to talk about, and obviously there's no correct answer, no wrong answer.
Right.
But you
mentioned Alan Kowicki, and that it brings up another name that's a nominee here in Davey Allison, and that's a struggle with how to handle these guys because you can't predict the future. They both died way too young. Davey Allison won 19 times before he died and was just getting started. Most people feel like Davey Allison would have won multiple championships. Of course, most people felt like Dale Earnhardt Jr. would win multiple championships, and he didn't. So, I don't know what to do with Davey. I love Davey. He was a great driver. I was a fan of his. And but you know, dying young, I don't think automatically puts you into the Hall of Fame. And maybe Alan Kowicki falls into that same mix. We just don't know what they would have done with the rest of their career.
Could have been. And I'm the same way with Davey as I was with Alan. Kowicki, I followed him pretty closely through the career. And an interesting little aside tidbit, Tom, I covered NASCAR racing for the Tennessean for 40 years. I asked one driver for an autograph over all those years. It was Davey Allison. A cousin of mine in North Carolina was a Davey Allison nut. And so I violated the media policy one day at Talladega when I was wandering around the garage. Davey was sitting on the back of his hauler. I went over and asked him if he'd sign my notebook to send his autograph to my cousin in North Carolina. He said, wait a minute, walked back in his hauler, came back a minute later with a glossy 8x10 glossy photograph of himself and signed it and wanted to know my cousin's name, Mary Ann. So he said to Mary Ann, best of luck, Davey Allison. Mm. So little things like that, Tom, tend to make me a tad biased, but toward drivers like Davey and Kowicki and those guys, like I say, when you get up close and personal to them and really get to know them like that, you know, I wouldn't have any trouble voting for Davey or Alan Kowicki in the Hall.
It was up to you. We'd put 100 guys in. We'd put 100 guys in every year if it was the Larry Woody Hall of Fame, because you're too nice a guy. All right, for sure. All right, I got a minute left, but I just want to get your take on this. This one drives me nuts. That is on this list. Because like you said, no Smokey Unick, and there's some others. Janet Guthrie. Oh, okay. She was the first female to compete in a NASCAR Premier Series. Okay. We can't go near Janet Guthrie. Because if you put Janet Guthrie in the Hall of Fame just because she was the first woman to race in a NASCAR race, they're going to have to put Danica Patrick in the Hall of Fame because she's the most successful woman to ever run. And she was a rim rider that ran in the back of the pack all the time. But yes, had a big impact or so on racing. That's the kind of stuff that drives me crazy. To politically correct Janet Guthrie because she was the first woman to run in NASCAR. Don't like it.
Yeah, and again, there was a wonderful old lady named Louise, and I've had a brain fade here. I can't remember her name. I've interviewed her a number of times. That raced during the Lee Petty era. Wonderful old lady, and she was really broke a lot of barriers before Janet came along. Now, Janet did break some barriers, and I admire Janet Guthrie. She came in at a time when women still weren't mostly allowed in the pits, generally allowed in the pits. So she broke a lot of barriers and made it possible for the latter-day Danicas and Patty Moes and people like that that came along later. So she did make a contribution from that standpoint. But again, you're right, Tom. If you start looking at it like that, you know, that you just wonder where the boundaries begin and where they end. But I think Janet Guthrie will be in there someday. I do think there's room for at some point, maybe just not quite this high up. I think there's some other people who need to get in line ahead of her.
Always a pleasure. Larry Woody has been our guest. Larry, I appreciate you, man.
Tom, I always enjoy it. You call me anytime.
All right, thank you. All right, we'll grab a break. When we come back, we'll wrap up this hour. It's Tom Abraham Show, right here on 730, 103.9 AM.
730 and 103.9, The Ump. More sports.
From the University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide Today. It's a daily update on Bama sports, and it's brought to you by Urology Centers of Alabama, a proud sponsor of Alabama Athletics, providing state-of-the-art urological care at 13 locations across Alabama. To find a specialist, visit urologycentersalabama.com. Hello, everybody. I'm Chris Stewart. Brad Bohannon's Alabama baseball team is back in action tonight in Tuscaloosa. The title play host to Southern Miss. 6 o'clock will be the first pitch. Lee Tracy will have the call on the network.
beginning at 5:55. Bama guard Colin Sexton has become just the second player in men's basketball history at Alabama to earn Freshman of the Year honors. He shared that award with Kentucky's Kevin Knox. Sexton was also named to the second team All-SEC and All-Freshman teams. Meanwhile, Dante Hall was selected to the league's All-Defensive team. The Alabama basketball team is back in action, facing off against Texas A&M in the SEC tournament Thursday at noon. Radio coverage on the network begins at 11. I'll have more in a moment.
It's 2018, and if your business is outdoors, SunSouth John Deere has the equipment to get you running and keep you running. With 21 locations across Alabama, Mississippi, and Georgia, SunSouth provides championship customer service for all the best John Deere compact tractors, riding lawn mowers, and gators for any job. Act now to get a John Deere 4044M compact tractor for as low as $199 a month, and visit SunSouth, the preferred tractor of the Crimson Tide, or shop online at sunsouth.com. Offer ends February 28, 2018. Subject to approved installment credit with John Deere Financial. Some restrictions apply. See dealer for details.
Alabama football will host its annual Pro Day today. It takes place at 11 a.m. will be televised on the SEC Network from 11 until 2. And gymnastics standout Lexi Graber has been named the SEC Freshman of the Week. The Alabama rookie won the all-around against North Carolina with a career-best score of 39.550. That's your Bama Update. Crimson Tide Today, brought to you by Urology Centers of Alabama, is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network.
Valley Equipment Rental is a family-owned and operated business proudly serving all the Tennessee Valley. Basing the business on you, the customer, Valley Equipment Rental caters to do-it-yourselfers, contractors, landscapers, and homeowners. No job is too big or too small. You'll find the right equipment at the right price at Valley Equipment Rental. Call today, 256-964-6081. Valley Equipment Rental in Huntsville, 256-964-6081. Or online at valleyequipmentrents.com.
Here's what you'll hear tonight on The Ump.
It's the College Basketball Patriot League Championship game between Colgate and Bucknell. Coverage will start at 6:15 p.m. all right here on The Ump.
Reminiscing with Amazon Music.
Remember Coach's halftime speech back in junior high?
That song he played probably won us the game.
What was it again?
Alexa, play the song that goes, "Burning with determination."
Rediscover the songs that defined a moment in time. Amazon Music, the simplest way to listen to the music you love. New customers start your 30-day free trial at amazonmusic.com. Renews automatically, cancel anytime.
By the time that we got up there, his room was filled with smoke.
The wind had blown and drifted the snow up against the side of my house, blocking the exhaust from my furnace.
I heard the smoke alarm going off in my friend's apartment.
Without the Kidde smoke alarm, my son would not be here today.
Had it not been for that carbon monoxide detector, they would come to school and not have their teacher there.
I grabbed my fire extinguisher and put out the fire.
Kidde makes technology that saves lives.
Get these essential products at the Home Depot.
Febreze Car presents When Stinks Interrupt.
Thanks for the ride, sis.
No problem. Good flight?
Yeah, it... Oh.
Chicken nuggets. Chicken nuggets.
Did you stop?
Chicken.
For fast food?
Nuggets.
Not today. Why?
Oh, chicken nuggets.
Pro tip, sis. Pick up Febreze Car, then pick up your brother.
Febreze Car has two new ways to drive away embarrassing odors. Now available without heavy perfumes or with extra bold scent.
Breathe happy Febreze. La, 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 la.
Picture streams in our community. That's where our kids play. And dogs splash. And some of these streams provide the water we drink. But is the water in these streams clean and safe? The truth is, for most local streams, no one knows. That's a problem. One the Isaac Walton League can help you solve with the Clean Water Challenge. For almost 50 years, the Isaac Walton League of America has helped people just like you test the water in local streams, clean up pollution, and protect healthy waters. Today, the Isaac Walton League has an ambitious new goal. Engage volunteers across the country.
The heck with that PSA! I gotta do a caption contest! I haven't done a caption contest in forever! I just posted at the Tom Abraham Show Facebook fan page, Facebook.com/Tom Abraham Show, and on the Twitter. The photo of Butch Jones talking to Bill Belichick. And Butch has got his Alabama pullover on that he bought at the Bama Fever store. And you got to see the look on Belichick's face. Please, caption contest. I'll give you something. I'll find something. Start putting captions on that starting now. Final hour is next. Open lines off the top. 730-1039. The ump.
Sports Radio 730 and 1039. The ump. WUMP.
The final lap with Carrie Murphy is on.
Let's just call this Driver Spotlight Wednesday, shall we? Today, the driver of the number 88 is Alex Bowman, and first up I asked him about the road course at Charlotte happening in the fall. How's that going
to
go?
I'm not so sure. I'm interested to see. It'll be interesting. You know, hopefully it puts on a great show for the fans, and that, at the end of the day, that's why we're here racing, is to entertain the fans. So hopefully we do a good job of that. We'll just have to wait and see.
They added it to a NASCAR Heat. You're going to give that a whirl before it comes up?
I'm not sure. I don't play a lot of video games. I spend a lot of time in the simulator. Maybe we'll get it mapped out in there and give it a whirl in there.
You got Peyton Manning as part of your nationwide family. Does he walk around singing that song all the time?
Yeah, I think he does. You know, he's got an earpiece to make sure his, like, pitch and notes are right and everything. So, you know, he's one of the best singers I know. We got to get him to karaoke night one night, just sing the nationwide jingle.
How was he at, I think he was the pace car driver?
Yeah, he was pace car driver at Daytona, which was, it was pretty cool. We kind of had that race surrounded with nationwide stuff, you know. He's the pace car driver. We're on the pole, and then Dale Jr. was I guess doing Gentlemen Start Your Engines. So that was really, really cool. Cool to be a part of, and drove up next to Peyton and scared him in the pace car. So that was it was fun to have everybody there.
Like us at facebook.com/thefinallap.
At CVS Pharmacy at Target, we put a little extra heart into everything we do, like actively looking to save you money. Generics, 90-day refills, even rewards. Get a $5 Target coupon for every 10 prescriptions. On your next Target run, stop by CVS Pharmacy. We're the place with the big heart. Not valid on all prescriptions, including those purchased in Arkansas, New Jersey, or New York. Other restrictions apply. See cvs.com/extracare-target or the pharmacy for details. CVS Pharmacy at Target. Health is everything.
What a day for tennis. You ready to play? Is everything all right?
This sinus pressure.
Allegra D knows that allergy congestion can get in the way of enjoying the moment.
Go ahead and practice without me.
Allegra D helps you break through congestion fast. Allegra D combines a non-drowsy antihistamine plus a powerful decongestant for 24 hours of congestion-free breathing.
Whoa, nice volley.
How about another set?
Only if you go easy on me.
Get Allegra D and get back to the moment. Starts working in 1 hour. Available at the pharmacy counter.
Hit the road this spring in comfort and style with the RV you've always wanted from Hall's RV in Albertville. Winners of Retailer of the Year from the Alabama Retail Association. Hall's RV has just what you're looking for. The best deals on quality-built travel trailers, fifth wheels, and motorhomes of all sizes. Making every destination feel like home. 256-894-6235. Or stop by Hall's RV today. Highway 431 in Albertville. And online at hallsrvsales.com. Hall's RV. We sell fun. Fun new state-of-the-art indoor shooting range is coming to Huntsville. Bullet and Barrel.
Offering 19 indoor climate-controlled lanes and a fully stocked store with firearms, accessories, and clothing.
Bullet and Barrel provides professional-friendly firearms training. Great for new and experienced shooters. Become a member now at a special pre-grand opening rate. Bullet and Barrel. On Lehman Ferry Road near the corner of Airport Road.
And online at bulletandbarrel.com.
Bullet and Barrel. Serious fun.
As a small business owner, you're always on the go. So how can you make sure you never miss a customer's call? Grasshopper. That's right. With Grasshopper, you get all of the features of a business phone system that's affordable and incredibly easy to use directly on your cell phone. You get a toll-free or vanity phone number that's memorable and professional. Customers are forwarded to your phone and connected to your team. And you can work from anywhere using Wi-Fi calling or our desktop app. And with our mobile app, your outgoing calls and texts show up as your professional phone number. Voicemails are transcribed and sent to your email so you can determine their importance at a glance. So whether you're on the go or working from home and need to keep business calls separate, or you simply want a professional tone, Grasshopper makes it happen. Set up your account in just minutes. There are no long-term contracts, and support is 24/7. Get your calls, stay connected, thrive. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio. grasshopper.com/radio.
Families affected by disasters urgently need support. Help the American Red Cross provide meals and shelter to those affected by disasters, big and small. Donate to Red Cross Disaster Relief. Go to redcross.org or call 1-800-RED-CROSS.
WUMP Madison, W28OBA Madison Huntsville, a Cumulus station. Sports Radio 730 and 103.9. The